I want to press in what he's pressed in this morning for me. And that's for Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, in the Amplified. You see, that particular scripture was designed by the Lord to awaken to us a clear pattern of what's going on in the earth. And when the enemy took over in Genesis, we know that Adam submitted his authority. So the Amplified says,
Ephesians 6:12.
All I heard was 12.
I did too. That's what I wrote down.
It's you wouldn't be able to find 12 in Ephesians.
No, there isn't.
But I have it.
And again, I was pressed because of the amplification. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with only physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirit, who are the world rulers, with an S, of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural spheres. Now, we have a tendency, because we are in the natural realm, that we focus mostly on what we can see, feel, hear, and touch. That's where we live. What I'm trying to make you aware of is there's so much more. And it's not about physical opponents, but against despotism, against the powers with an S, okay? So those are demonic spiritual powers, against the master's spirits who are, doesn't say will be, they are the world rulers of this present darkness, Now, you and I are light in that darkness, okay? So we will irritate in some areas. You will feel that irritation. Most likely you'll feel it most if you're going into a hospital, a doctor's office, a funeral home, even a public mall, where there's occult activity, and against spirit forces of wickedness, in heavenly spheres or supernatural spheres. Now, if you take that and you realize what it's really saying, St. Paul is trying to make us aware there's more than you know. And don't be just looking at the natural. Get a good grip on what's going on in your life. Recognize why that you're where you are, whatever circumstances that you're in. And don't do what my brother did. Settle for the circumstances that you're in and start confessing what you feel. If you confess what you feel, what are you going to be doing?
You're
submitting to the natural realm, and the spirit realm is having a party because you haven't opened your mouth to get rid of it. And you have that authority. And you know you have that authority. Just like right now, when we take a time to intercede for someone we know is in leadership. As you were praying, the Holy Spirit reminded me that we've got to pray for the past presidents. Because they're having a hard time with this new guy. They really are. And God doesn't want any of them to be damaged. He wants to reveal himself to all of them. So you say, well, wait a minute, they're our enemies. Well, the scripture says pray diligently for
those in authority. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if they're past presidents, they deserve respect. They deserve for you to intercede as the Lord leads you. So just because they were maybe not your answer to what you would have liked, they are men and women available to come to the Lord and be transformed, just like St. Paul, no different. So go back now, 13. Therefore put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Ah. Why is he wanting you to stand firmly in your place? Because the darkness is seeing your actions and reactions and listening to your mouth. So he's looking for you to be steady on what you have decided to go forward with, which is of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Holy Spirit is trying to bring you to freedom. That's his purpose. He wants you to become like Jesus. He wants you to react like Jesus. And Jesus didn't have a problem when there was a storm. Did he?
No.
Okay, so he's walking on water in the midst of a storm, and the 12 thinks he's a ghost. Were they human?
Sure.
Were their actions human? See, God is not against us humans. He created us. We chose to pervert ourselves. When I say we, I mean humanity. Okay? And we are coming out of that darkness. Putting on his armor is part of the process of coming up into a higher realm. Okay? And that you're putting on the armor to be able to resist. So there is something to resist. There's something that needs to change. When you stand your ground, you will become victorious. Is it going to happen overnight?
No.
Thank you.
But it will happen.
But it will happen. Exactly.
Amen.
And when you declare with your mouth, your brain is going to say, oh, you didn't get this yet. How long does it take? As long as it takes. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How long does it take before you become free or freer? Okay? Stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all, the crisis demands. I love the crisis demands part. Because when you're in a crisis, you want to get out as quickly as you possibly can. Right?
Yeah.
But standing firm is not comfortable. Okay, another piece to this puzzle that I'm reminded of. Leah said to make sure that I would declare to somebody that preached on Romans 12, because it's very hard to digest. So, she said, you make sure you tell that person, thank you, but no thanks, but thank you anyway.
My sentiments exactly.
Okay. Can you? She says, I'm still there. And it's been a week and a half, and he's still there. But God is using it.
Amen.
Okay? So, 14. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth. Why do you tighten it?
For the ride.
For the ride, exactly. Around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in the preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. That's good news. The promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. And it's confirmed in Isaiah 52:7. Lift up over all the covering shield and have and of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Flaming missiles. Okay? Yeah. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, wields which is the word of God. Don't underestimate what you learn out of the Bible, because it's a tool when you're in a war. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. Your heavenly language, use it with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, which is who you are, and also for me. Now, Paul is not afraid to say, don't pray for me. He's saying just the opposite. Come on, cover me. I need help too.
Amen.
Amen. And also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of the gospel. See, it's one thing to know to have a big mouth. It's something else to have it blessed. When your mouth is blessed is when you're declaring the word of the Lord. And you're giving somebody hope. You're creating an open door for them to come to life. I had a discussion with my son. And he's got two little grandsons that he loves very dearly. And I can't tell you when, but they got BB guns. And when we were on our trip to the camp, their stepdad had set up a place on a rock where they put cans, and of course they were standing on a patio in the front of the camp, and they were testing their ability to shoot the cans with the BB. So my daughter-in-law says, oh, she says, I can't stand guns. So my son says, why did you marry me? It's the truth, you know. Why did you marry me? She says, well, she says, you're not involved with guns. He says, why are you saying that? He said, I was on a submarine. She says, that's why. She says, there are no guns on the submarine. No, we've got...
missiles, guns, radar.
He said, a gun will kill one. Or two, what we carried will kill millions. okay. It shook her right out of her brain thinking, you know, I can't stand guns. Here's her grandsons playing, having a good time, you know. And they're very safe, and they're teaching them the safety. is whenever he said, "Why did you marry me?" So, she never connected that he was ready, because he was the sonar tech, so he knew where the enemy was. That was his ability. You got to remember, he's 6'3",
yep.
And he was ordained to lead a nuclear sub for almost 4.5 years. And there were some seasons that we got very close to the Lord. And I remember when he went on that sub, and I drove him down to Groton, I had bought him a brand new Bible, and he looked at me and said, "I don't need that." I said, "Well, you might change your mind when you're on the sub."
He holding on, crying, holding on to his Bible.
When he came off the sub a few months later, "Oh, Dad, I learned how to pray." I said, "Good." Oh, okay. We're going to deviate another moment. He had been in the Navy for quite a while, and we had a trigger word. And if he said that one word, I would be aware that there would be a need of prayer, because he was going into corners that were not going to be comfy. So he was leaving, and he called, say goodbye, and of course he put that word in, and I knew what that meant. So I told his mother to intercede for him as the Lord would lead her, and I obeyed. Well, he was gone for about, I can't tell you, roughly 3 months. But I would say about halfway through that point, a couple, 3 nights, the Lord would wake me up and intercede, just sitting in my chair, praying in the Spirit for him, declaring Romans 8. "I don't know what's going on, Lord, but..." And release my spirit and intercede for sometimes an hour, half an hour, whatever that I needed to do. But now I'm nosy, because it's happened several times, and I'm getting nosy, and I'm really, being honest, totally lonely. This is my baby boy that's out there, you know? And Lorraine, you can identify. When your baby boy's out there, I don't care who anybody says or whatever, your heart is hurting. So I had to go to the dentist. So I'm in the dentist's office waiting for my turn, and there's a magazine, U.S. News and World Report. So I take it, and it's an article about the submarines. I said, "Whoa! Isn't that cool?" Well, this investigator had done some research, and there's some pictures of the submarines being under the North Pole ice cap. And I knew, this is it. This is where he is. I did not know where he was going, but I know now, by the Holy Ghost, this is it. So I look at the date on the magazine, and it was that week. So I went to the store, bought my own copy, read the article, gave it to Irene, and I said, "Now look, this is where he is. I know this is God." Okay? So, several weeks go by. The intercession got easier when you have a little bit of confirmation.
Yeah.
Okay? That's all I can tell you. It was a little easier. So, I get a phone call. It's Easter time, because he says to me, "I have a buddy that's from Texas." He says, "Would it be okay if I asked him to come and spend the weekend with us for Easter?" And I said, "Of course." So he said, "Well, can you pick us up and give time and place and so on?" So I picked him up. And I've got the article underneath my seat, or underneath his seat, because he's sitting in the passenger seat. He doesn't want to drive. He's tired. And probably emotionally stress. So the kid's sitting in the back seat, and we're leaving Groton. We're going Route 32, wonderful, beautiful little ride. Long story, I said, "Well, are you glad to be on terra firma?" And he says, "Oh, Dad, it was a real tough situation." I says, yeah, I know. He says, well, how do you know? I said, because, and I gave him the days and nights and so on and timing and, oh, he says, and the kid in the back says, yeah. That's as much as he had to say, yeah. And so he says, well, how do you know, Dad? So I said, well, put your hand underneath your seat. There's a magazine there. Well, he took the magazine out, and I mean, you could tell that he had just been drained, you know. Where'd you get this? How do you, you know, no way. I said, son, God has his ways. He said, you have no idea how close it was, how difficult it was. And of course, his ears is what they trusted in, because with the ice cap, everything is echoey, okay? So identification of who's running after you, who's trying to find you, et cetera, is extremely difficult. He never went into the details, and I never asked him to. But the kid in the back said, what are you looking at? Gary gives him the paper, the magazine, and the kid is going, oh my, oh my. So all I can tell you is God knows how to confirm, but he also knows how to use you to keep the people that are in our service and service-related jobs safe. He's counting on you. That didn't fit in. For some odd reason, some of you are not catching on. Close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
When it's time
for me to intercede
for those who are protecting our country, and how close it may be to danger,
give me a real awareness
that they need me to intercede,
when it's your plan for me to do so.
Push hard on me
so I won't give in.
In Jesus' name, I want to intercede
for those that are in authority,
that are in my realm,
to intercede for them.
Amen.